We, as a class, the whole production class, we titled it Surrenderings after a long day, actually 2 days, of just throwing out different things that we thought about the space specifically. And we decided on Surrenderings because as dancers, we're kind of just like vulnerable on stage. So we are surrendering ourselves to the audience. And especially with that small GIST theater space, we're just very close up to everyone. It's very intense. And we saw Surrenderings as a great title for the whole piece.
And the name of the work that you choreographed?
So I choreographed a duet with Tatum Olander and Ethan Ambler. And I titled it Kindred because it's about love and, more importantly, the spiritual connection two people can share. So the choreography is very about intricacies and connection without physical touch. So it's very much about that spiritual connection between two people. So they're not touching at a lot of points, but they're moving at the same in the same way. So that's why I titled it Kindred, because it's about the spiritual connection between two people.
Well, a couple of things. One, it is promoted as being a hip hop style. Mm-hmm. How does that, how can you please explain what that means in terms of the movement that we will be treated to?
So it's technically hip hop, but it's more specifically a subgenre of hip hop called West Coast Urban Dance, where it's about, the greatest thing I ever heard was my idol Keone Madrid saying, it's about thinking your way through things instead of bodying your way through things. So you're very mental about your choreographic process and you're very thinking your way through all movements, and you have to be very careful about each individual movement. So there's a lot of very small, intricate movements within it. And it's very focused on bringing the audience's eyes to those small movements and making them big, because you're bringing the audience's eye to those movements.
And Tatum, you are one of the persons in this dance.
I am.
And you are not to touch the person. It's two people, correct?
Yes.
Right. And you're not to touch your partner in the dance. That's the whole thing. You are coming very close, but you're not touching. How has that gone for you preparing this? We'll jump right into challenge.
Yeah, it's been extremely challenging, especially because I want you guys so close that you can touch, but you can't. And there's been moments where it's like you have to balance here, and you cannot lean on each other, and you cannot rely on this other person. You rely on yourself, and they're there with you, but they are not there to physically support you. You're supporting yourself, they are supporting themselves, and you're working together in this kind of magnetic, like different sides of a magnet. You want to touch, but you just can't.
You're connected, but you're also individuals.
Absolutely.
Bryn, from how you would describe it, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. Kindred.
Yeah.
You know, we're together, but we're not all over each other.
Yeah, exactly.
We're allowing for the individuality.
Absolutely, yeah.
And Tatum, you also choreographed a work. The piece that you choreographed, you're not in it.
No, I'm not.
Okay, well, please tell the title of it, and comparable to what Bryn was saying, talk about the process of bringing it forward.
Right. So I choreographed I See You Now, which is a modern contemporary work about the effects of social and panic disorder under general anxiety disorder. It was a very difficult and personal process for me because I got to dance very late. I've only been dancing since I was 16. I was not the original, you start at 3 in ballet and you work your way up. And so I didn't learn a lot of dance technique the traditional way in a ballet class. I learned through contemporary, and it was kind of like, that's a tendu, and it was, okay, sure it is. So coming into my dance, I didn't want it to be very technical because it was a very personal story to me, and putting in the technique behind it felt very ingenuine. So coming into my creative process, I got my cast of 7 dancers and sat them down and said, you're not gonna be doing, you know, pirouettes and sautés in this dance. It's going to be very raw. It's going to be very hard hitting movement. And it is, you see my dancers struggle with, I don't want your feet pointed. I don't want this pretty arm. I want this to be a very personal and kind of rugged movement. I want it to be very real. If I ask you to throw your arms back, I want you to throw your arms back. I don't want them placed back. And we had days where it was like, You know, I have a part of my dance where they kind of push each other around, and they were a little bit afraid to like push each other. So we had an entire rehearsal where we pushed each other. Just, this is how I want it to be. I want it to be genuine. I don't want your emotion to be fake in this, because my entire dance is kind of centered around what it's like to experience a panic attack.
And what's the title of it again?
It's called I See You Now. And the reason for that being, when I first started this dance last semester, I had written a spoken word, and it was all very based off of it. And it was based off of being able to see your anxiety as a manifestation outside of your body, and being able to look at it and present it and be like, okay, this is what you are. I see you, and I can't ignore you anymore. And this year it's been interesting because I was asked to cut my spoken word and challenged to, okay, put it to music. If you don't have your words, if you don't have your story laid out for the audience, what does it look like? And that it got even more personal, and I didn't think it could.
No, I didn't ask Bryn this, but let me ask Bryn, and then I'm going to ask you this, Tatum, as well. Bryn, music. Where did you get it?
So the song I chose is called Misses by Leon Bridges, and I found it in another duet that I saw that kind of inspired me to do this one. It's a piece from like 3 years ago, and I got inspired by seeing this one couple at the beach, and then I found this video, and I heard this song. I was like, wow, I need to use this song for this piece, because I've had it in my back pocket for like 3 years. This piece I always wanted to do, but I never found like the dancers or the song that was like perfect for it. And then these just came together perfectly this semester.
And Tatum, your choice of music?
So my choice, my song is by Ludovico Iannotti, and it's called Experience. And I was very against using music. I was very attached to my spoken word. And so I got brought into a room with two of my professors. We were just throwing out songs, and I didn't like anything, and I didn't feel like it fit. And a professor that I'm very close to, Kylie Carlson, put down Ludovico Iannotti's Experience and said, what about this? And it fit perfectly. It brought a feminine energy that I didn't think I originally wanted. But I have a cast of seven women, and it just fits so beautifully.
Hermes.
Yes.
Let's talk first about your piece and then your choice of music for it.
Of course. I choreographed Body Language. It's a piece that basically interrogates the ways in which we talk about our bodies, the ways in which we see ourselves, and how it relates to how other people see us, and what's the difference between how you see yourself and how other people see you. I think the concept is one of those things that is hard to talk about, because I looked at body image issues from a branch of like your relationship with food as well. It is very personal because it is something that I personally have struggled with. I have always had like a terrible relationship with food, but it never became about my body until I guess I was like 14 or 15. And it just made sense for me to like open up this semester and share what I had struggled with. My choice of music actually came after I had started choreographing. I started choreographing over the summer, because I was like, I'm going to come back to school and I'm going to do choreography, and this is what I'm going to talk about. I was in Cuba outside of like the beach house, and I was like, I was literally sitting there for like hours, and I was like, this is like what I wanted to talk about, and like, this is what I want to say. And there was music, but nothing necessarily fit until I came back to the States and I heard Shrine Tooth by Forest Words. And it's a piece that is mostly about breath, and it's basically just breathing and like a bass. And it reminded me of like the exhaustion of like being uncomfortable with your body regardless of your situation. And so I said, this sounds like me. I didn't necessarily want my piece to have like a dark or sad ending per se. So I did choose another song, World by Champion and Fortet. That's very much, again, Cuban and very much upbeat. So like the piece takes my dancers from this place of like self-hatred to a place of like actually acceptance.
How many dancers?
Three dancers.
Is there a lot of physical contact?
There is to a certain extent. They begin by themselves because it's one of those things, I think that it was really important to me that it felt like an isolation, that it felt like they were alone in it, even though they were all going through it. I did not want it to feel like, okay, let's help each other until like halfway through the dance. So they do start doing like very specific movements by themselves, and then later on they do start like to help each other, like let me pull you up, because it is important to me that you also understand how beautiful you are.
Yeah. Jandy, you are one of the choreographers, but you're also faculty, dance faculty at Humboldt State University.
Yes.
How long have you been dance faculty?
Here. I started at Humboldt State University in the fall semester of 1998, a little over 20 years ago.
If we had more time, I would love to talk with you about your approach to teaching, but let's concentrate now today on your approach to the piece that you've choreographed.
Yes, I worked with a group of seven students, and really, as I often like to do when I choreograph generally, I really like to get the dancers engaged with generating the movement in the dance, right? So I actually made up very little, only one or two movements that you see in this dance.
Let me ask you this, if they're generating a lot of these movements, did you approach them with your title, The Earth is Where We Make Our Stand?
Yeah.
Did you propose that to them and then they created some movement?
We didn't come upon that title until pretty late in our short process. late in our fast track process. We started working on this piece at the end of January, so it's come together in just a couple of months of meeting a couple times a week. And when I first met with my dancers, I said, I'm interested in doing something with a theme of social justice or ecological justice. What are y'all interested in? Yeah. And so we came up with this direction together to do something about global climate change. It's all around us all the time. And something that we each felt some kind of personal urgency or curiosity or interest in. And so we honed in on that topic. We started doing journal writing about how much we love the earth, place on the earth you really love. I would do anything to protect ... right? Just a lot of journal writing. And then out of those journal prompts, students choreographed phrases, which we taught to each other, which we manipulated.
Well, give me an example of a phrase. What do you mean?
A movement phrase. Yeah. Like a couple of sentences of movement, something that has a beginning, that develops in dynamic, that develops in space and time, that has a visual rhythm, something that resolves.